Lord, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I start, can I just say that it's, Chloe, a huge joy to be able to share your baptism day with you. And there may be other people in the building who are wondering, should I be getting baptized? And I want to really encourage you to do that, to come on in. The water is lovely. Do come and have a word with Lindsay or myself if that might be a step you want to consider. But let me ask you a question. This is from a Christmas quiz I was in a few days ago, and I want to test it out on you. I'm afraid you can't call out the answer, but I'd like to see if you can think what your answer to this question would be. What words does Joseph, Mary's husband, say in the Gospels? What words does Joseph's husband, Joseph, Mary's husband, say in the Gospels? Now, the answer is this is a trick question because he doesn't say anything. In the Gospels, there's no record of his words. He is silent. But it's a silence that speaks, from which we can learn. So I want to look with you briefly this morning at the silence of Joseph. And that silence is firstly a silence of faith. It's secondly a silence of compassion. And it's thirdly a silence of courage. So firstly, it's a silence of faith. Joseph is silent, and in his silence, he hears God speaking. He discovers that Mary, his betrothed, is pregnant. Now, in Jewish culture in that time, what happened was that two people would agree to marry, and then there would then be a time of what was called betrothal, where they were engaged, but they weren't living together. But they were seen as fully married. And that's the situation with Mary and Joseph. And Joseph discovers Mary is pregnant. The child is not his. But he does not speak. We hear in the Gospel reading, verse 20, that Joseph considered this. He considered this. He mulled it over. He thought about this. And as he did, an angel appeared to him, spoke to him, and he obeyed. And later, after the visit of the wise men, just on from this passage we heard this morning, an angel appears to Joseph again. Again, there's no record of Joseph speaking. He listens, and then he faithfully does what he is told to do, taking Mary and Jesus to Egypt to keep them from the murderous King Herod. Now, perhaps you come to this passage unsure of what to make of angels and of tales of a virgin birth. But what I would say to you is this. Yes, the Gospels speak here of things way beyond our imagining, but actually a good deal of life is way beyond our imagining. Most especially when we are silent, when the great noise that is around us and indeed sometimes inside of us ceases, it's in that silence that God can get a word in. Remember how in our first lockdown earlier this year, the streets were eerily quiet, and we suddenly found we actually grew more aware of the natural world, that there was a natural world going on, even in an urban place like Middlesbrough, that maybe we'd never seen, although it was always there, we'd never seen it. It was because we were silent, because then we could hear it. We naturally fill the air with noise. And that means we are deaf, and that includes deaf to God sometimes. Joseph had the gift of silence, and because of that, he heard God. His silence was a silence of faith. So there's a silence of faith that Joseph shows, but then a silence of compassion. Joseph says a lot in the Gospels, only he doesn't say it with words. Joseph spoke by his actions of love, by his compassion to Mary, taking her as his wife, becoming foster father to Jesus, by his actions in humility, naming Jesus as he's told to do by the angel. In his culture, the role of naming the child was the preserve of the father and the father alone. So Joseph was doing a big thing and stepping back and being told who to name Jesus. He's speaking in the silence of his compassion towards Jesus. Joseph, the carpenter, schools Jesus in the craft of working with wood. Jesus, who by working with the wood of the cross, would save the world. I'm someone who, occupationally, I have to speak a lot. And Joseph's silent compassion is a good challenge to me. But I'm not the only one who speaks a lot. And I'd suggest his silent compassion is a good challenge to each of us. So Joseph has a silence of faith, he has a silence of compassion, and he has a silence of courage. Just beyond today's reading, Joseph has to protect Mary and Jesus from the threat posed by King Herod, the murderous Herod. One of the reasons we can rely on the historical accuracy of the Gospels is the way they portray historical figures like Herod. And we know a lot about King Herod from other sources outside the Bible. And he was a monster. He killed one of his wives and he killed a number of his sons because he was frightened they might be a threat to his throne. The cruelty that Matthew's Gospel describes Herod as displaying is entirely in character from what else we know of Herod. And look at the contrast between the two leading men, as it were, between Herod and Joseph. Herod was loud and hugely influential. Herod ruled as king of Judea. He was like a kind of satellite monarch. He held position through the favor of the Roman emperors of the time. He was endlessly throwing up enormous buildings. He loved great architectural statements like the hilltop fortress of Masada. If you've never heard of Masada, Google it. It's a quite extraordinary architectural achievement. And then there was the great port called Caesarea Maritima. There's a clue in that name. Herod's doing a little bit of groveling towards the Roman emperor by naming it Caesarea. Herod said a lot. He was loud in his life, but ultimately it signified nothing or worse. Contrast that with Joseph, who works to keep Mary and Jesus out of Herod's clutches. His silent courage, ready to block bloodlust. So Joseph has much to teach us. He shows us a silence of faith. He shows us a silence of compassion. And he shows us a silence of courage. As I ponder Joseph, I find myself thinking of many Joseph-like Christians I've met down the years. Not all men by any means, but I do think Joseph offers a template for Christian manhood. It is well said that God has given us two ears and only one mouth. We live in an age of continual chatter, and that's the chatter around us on our news feeds and on our radios and TVs. It is also the chatter inside of us, that inner voice that can jabber away. As you come to Christmas, as I come to Christmas, let us emulate the silence of Joseph. That might include turning off the newsfeed and cutting down the amount you listen to the incessant chatter of our news media. But silence is so much more than simply an absence of noise. That's what Joseph is showing us. Silence is a positive quality. Through it, he is doing something. We too can practice his silence of faith. Who knows what we will hear when we ourselves shut up? And that leads on to a silence of compassion. What acts of compassion is God calling you and me to this Christmas? A small act, especially an act which no one else will ever know or see, so much the better. But it is by such silences that we speak. And let's be silent in our courage. Joseph was not fazed, not deflected by the murderous power of Herod. I can well believe he was scared inside, but he acted with silent courage to resist evil. And so can we. Amen.